This is a replay of the Tuesday night, April 21st, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, well, I'll make sure it's on mine as well, providing it has no import whatsoever. That's right. We will fiddle while the rest of the world burns. Why not? And have a fine time playing your requests and talking about a number of things, actually. Of course, you know, you pick the subject if you call. But, you know, I hear so often people talking about how it was back in the day, how our food is less healthy, and I think it is, but than it was, say, in the 50s. Oh, have I got news for you about that. But people complaining about their jobs, saying it's got to be the worst. Oh, no, no, no. It could be the Middle Ages. Yeah. And there's a number of jobs. I'll save the worst or the best. I'll let you decide for last. But when you're looking for a career, you could consider rat catcher. And the problem with that, of course, is they were the main carriers of the bubonic plague. But others say, no, not even true. They did spread disease in medieval urban centers, but bottom line is, you know, usually not deadly. However, enough by feasting on food supplies that the rat catcher was a career. And individual would generally travel from town to town, and the advertising was interesting. The rodent victims were suspended from a stick. Yeah, right. That's right. Skilled rat catchers deployed methods that included setting traps in infested areas and unleashing dogs or ferrets on their quick-footed targets. And while rat catchers were in demand in the Middle Ages, the profession reached its pinnacle in Victorian London. And Jack Black, yes, achieving renown for their prowess in that particular field. Would you rather be a crane treadwheel operator? Yeah, right. Sounds hard to me. Regularly used by the Romans before fading from the public record due to the deaths, no doubt. The treadwheel crane enjoyed a revival during the Middle Ages as a means for constructing magnificent cathedrals and palaces. And, of course, the problem is the device was operated by human power, one or two people walking in what was essentially a giant hamster wheel with a rope that wound around the wheel that lifted the stone blocks. Yeah, that is a tough job. But apparently, it wasn't quite as physically taxing, or so they said in the ads for it, no doubt, right? Well, the hod carrier, that was the job where you bore heavy loads as you scaled the scaffolding of a developing structure. So I guess if your choice was hod carrier or crane treadwheel operator, you kind of know what you're gonna pick there. Then there's the pardoner. I like that. And that's pretty good. The church, Catholic Church, began assigning pardoners to go door-to-door, basically door-to-door salesmen of spiritual boosters for a price. And it suited the needs of the parish and the parishioners. And it also, they say, enabled a system in which corrupt officials and frauds, no kidding, really? Yeah, but apparently that's been written about in the Canterbury Tales, and maybe you've read it, but maybe you didn't know that actually existed. Yeah, we've got the barbers, who actually were surgeons, and I probably don't need to belabor that. We've got fullers. Nothing like fuller brush. Fulling is the practice by which cloth fibers are condensed and strengthened for transformation into wearable garments. And this dates back to ancient Egypt, but apparently a medieval fuller was required to stomp around on a cloth pile submerged in a vat of stale urine, which was deemed the rinsing liquid of choice due to its high levels of ammonium. Yes, ideal for removing grease and softening the fabrics. You know, maybe that that crane treadwheel operator is sounding better and better. I'm not sure, but wanted to save the absolute best for last. The flatulist. It's exactly as you'd think it was. When I first read it, I said, "Well, it must be something else, right?" No, well, a medieval court could be entertained by a wide array of performers, jesters, jugglers, acrobats, but under the general umbrella of entertainers was a subset of performers who earned their living breaking wind. And apparently there was an English gentleman known as Roland the Farter, who, according to 13th century literature, regularly performed a dance at King Henry II's annual Christmas pageant that ended with the delivery of one jump, one whistle, and one fart. Roland was rewarded handsomely for his proclivities. They gave him a manor in Suffolk, 100 acres of land. And, yeah, the deal is, though, that if you're thinking, well, that's because no one else could do this like Roland, apparently it was not quite as distinct a skill set as you might imagine. There was an entire collection of flatulists, and they were enjoying similar acclaim in Ireland. And it was a profession that endured even as the Middle Ages gave way to the high-minded civilizations that followed. All right, so there you go. Now, Before I get to the rest of this, and Ken from Chicago, who's calling, I think with a request, we'll find out. That'll be this week for sure. But I think we're full up tonight. That's for sure. You did your best last night to give me a ton of them. Foods, and I am one who absolutely says our food source is terribly compromised in the additives and the other things in there, just terrible. But I never really thought about the fact that some of the things, particularly in the 50s and early 60s, that we were eating had to be just as bad. I don't know how they conned us into margarine, for sure. Began in the 40s, obviously, but ranged through the 70s. And, you know, this is about as unhealthy as it gets. And, of course, the 50s commercials told you that saturated fats were terrible and margarine was made from vegetable oil and it was the modern, healthier alternative. No, actually, the early margarines were produced through partial hydronidation, there you go, creating trans fats, which were later found out to raise cholesterol. So, absolutely, if your choice is butter or margarine, take the butter. Fruit juice. Well, yeah, especially orange juice, marketed as an essential part of a healthy diet. Well, there are a couple problems. Many of the juice companies decided they'd add sugar. That was bad enough, but others just removed the fiber, leaving behind concentrated natural sugars, even without added sugars, that were quickly absorbed by the body. Powdered drink mixes, I don't have to talk about Tang, we can just move on. Breakfast cereals, we can probably guess there too, absolutely sugar as far as that goes. But what I found interesting is granola, because people to this day think granola is healthy. It emerged in the 60s and part of the natural foods movement and counterculture and more simpler, more natural eating. Granola's reputation didn't come from industrial marketing alone. It was promoted through word of mouth. Yeah, people talked about it, all that you probably heard it. And they talked about the great ingredients, the oats, the nuts, the dried fruit. And yes, it was purity, it was energy, it was fiber. Well, yeah, the commercial versions had a significant amount of added sugar, oils, which can be the worst of everything, and sweeteners to improve the taste and the texture. So they were touting it as a wholesome, good-for-you food, when in fact it was a calorie-dense, sugar-heavy problem. Likewise, low-fat yogurt. Yeah, fat is bad, right? So what do? You pour a ton of sugar in it to make up for it. So that I don't get. But the last one on the list, I had to laugh, white bread. Now, to me, the bottom line is if vermin won't touch it, yeah, bugs and such won't eat it, probably I shouldn't be. But nonetheless, it was touted from the 30s through the 60s as a triumph of modern food science. Industrial baking processors giving you soft, uniform loaves that were cleaner, safer, and more advanced. Yeah, like I say, the bugs wouldn't eat it. Wonder Bread in particular, which I don't remember, was it a dozen ways? How many ways was it supposed to enhance your body? The bottom line is the advertisements that said white bread alone, basically Wonder Bread, would help kids grow strong and healthy. And, of course, its soft texture and easy digestibility. No, absolutely not. Only later did it become clear that the process also removed the fiber and all the beneficial nutrients. No wonder the bugs weren't eating it. So yeah, we talk about what's in food today, and some of it is a horror show. But was it really much better when they were touting us to eat margarine and Wonder Bread? 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Ken in Chicago next on WGN Radio.
Time for spending my hours, the fine things I bought for you, the many things I've done for you, but now you say we are through. I've given you rhymes explaining the weather, many things I've turned you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Robert John, 1968, Columbia Records. That was his first single under Robert John. I say that because as a kid, Bobby Peedrick Jr., he had some stuff. But this was the first. It was on Columbia. I thought it might have been the best record in 1968. I just loved it. And it would be another decade before he would actually have hits. But in the interim, like Sad Eyes and things like that, in the interim, he put out some really nice things, a great version of Ooh Baby Baby and others. And it was Mike in Cleveland who wanted to hear that, and I was pleased to play it. All right, Ken is in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Good. I got a joke, and I got a dedication, a request for Cindy.
Okay.
First, the joke.
Okay.
There was a string of robberies going on.
Uh-huh.
This one guy was robbing a bank, and they couldn't catch him. Finally, they caught him.
Uh-huh.
They found out he was a rabbi, and he was doing one of the ceremonial bris. You know what a bris is?
Yeah, that's the circumcision thing.
Yeah, so when they went up there, they said, we're arresting you. Go, what charge? Well, they got him on circumcisional evidence.
Oh, God. All righty, then. So, very good. Now, what is it you'd like to play for Cindy?
Oh, Larry Gatlin, Taking Somebody With Me When I Fall.
Okay. That sounds
like Larry Gatlin.
Okay.
Taking Somebody With Me When I Fall.
All right.
And I grew up on space food sticks and beef jerky, where the only place open at night was the corner liquor store.
That's great. And, you know, probably beef jerky altogether is not as bad for you as some of the stuff they were touting as healthy.
Oh, I know. Well, at nighttime, that's the only place we can get our snacks and soda.
Yes, so why not?
There was no quickie marts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it, Raleigh.
Good deal.
Take
thanks.
Care.
Appreciate it. We'll do that. All right. Probably be tomorrow night, but we will. Always good to hear from Ken. Be good to hear from you as well. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And as I say, a number of your requests, including some that I had meant to play a while ago. So if you requested stuff a while ago and are saying, what happened? Well, maybe you'll hear it next. So here we are on the 21st of April. And in case you were wondering, Robert Knight, yeah, would have been, I'd say about 86. Yeah, right. And of course, he was a chemistry teacher and a lab technician. He was also part of the grounds crew at Vanderbilt University. But other than that, Everlasting Love. Yeah, huge. And I know, done by Carl Carlton as well, but the Robert Knight is, of course, the definitive version of that. Bobby McClure would have been 84 today. Yeah. Started out with Soul Stirrers when Sam Cooke was singing lead, but then later went solo and did so many wonderful things, including some duets as well. So maybe we'll play some of those coming up. But trying to see what else is going on of which you might want to be aware. Not a whole lot, actually. But let's see. It was on this date in 1956 that Why Do Fools Fall in Love peaked at number 12 on the pop charts, which actually I mentioned because that's pretty darn low, because that record had staying power, to say the least, to this day. No surprise that the Book of Love peaked at number 5 in 1958. Of course, to some extent, that was a medley of the Monotones' hits. But a Book of Love came about because of the Pepsodent jingle. Wonder where the yellow went? Yeah. Wonder who wrote the Book of Love? Yeah. Who knew? All right. So plenty of things to talk about, and I'd love to talk to you about them coming up on WGN Radio.
When day is done and shadows fall, I dream of you. When day is done, I think of all the joys we knew. That yearning, returning to hold you in my arms. Won't go, love, I know, love. Without you, night has lost its charms. When day is done and grass is wet with twilight's dew, my lonely heart is sinking with the sun. Although I miss your tender kiss the whole day through, I miss you most of all. When day is done.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Gene and Dalton wanted to hear that, and I picked the Bing Crosby version, but I could have picked literally hundreds as far as that goes. It was originally written in the 20s, 1924, for a German musical, and I think it was, I'm not even going to try. It was something or other. It was at the Weiner Kammerspiel Theater in 1924. That I could say. But that was a deal. And, of course, a number of versions in German, but English, too, by 1927. And as far as that goes, literally hundreds of versions of that, including 1940 it was that... that Bing Crosby did it. All right, so happy to play that. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. We are recovering from having to do get ready for a major inspection that we have to do for Section 8. They come and inspect. And we have this, it's the part of the, you know, I mean, I I'm cluttered, but I'm clean. You know, I keep my dishes up and, you know, all that stuff. But this whole building has a problem with roaches and things like that. And, but they only, what they do is they only do, this is a four-floor building, and it's one floor every month. And they just come in and they barely, you know, put a little bit of spray and leave. Well, this time they wanted us to take, because they didn't pass the housing authority inspection, you know, because of that. So we had to take everything out of our kitchen. I mean, you know, and it was like a obstacle course, to say the least. And so both of us kind of hurt our backs. And
and by the way, it's not probably going to help one whit. Roaches, and by the way, when you start talking about roaches, I thought about the Court Jesters. You know that song, right?
Oh, that song about those roaches.
Yeah, right. Don't leave your food out on the table. Yeah, exactly. So, just a classic. But the biggest problem with roaches very often is people pouring beer down their drains. You know, I mean, it's very often in the pipes.
This is an indoor building, you know, it's like these hallways. That,
yeah, inside,
you know,
hallways, of course.
And we had somebody living across the hall from us. She has since moved out, who was a hoarder.
Oh, God.
And, oh, my God. And she used to leave stuff out in front of her apartment that I wouldn't even want anybody to see, let alone leave it in front of my apartment. But, you know, of course, I grew up, you know, my grandmother, no, you can't go and play over there because those people have roaches. Like, they were bad people because they had roaches. And so I had to get over that, because since I've moved to Texas, you know, it's a warmer climate and we get more roaches than I did when I lived in California. But it's the building, you know. I mean, everybody's got them here, but they don't. They try to do the pest control on the cheap, like they try to do everything.
Yeah,
and
it's the environment, and it's not, like I say, yes, you should keep your kitchen clean, no doubt about it, and remove your trash. That's all true, but there's a trifecta for roaches, and what roaches want, they want three things: warm, dark, damp. Those are the three, and so that's why I mentioned plumbing. They love pipes. Shared walls, utility lines, conduits, you know, and if there's leaky pipes anywhere in that building, dripping faucets, standing water, you know, hell, bathroom humidity, you know, that's the deal. Now, of course, they're after food, so that's why they're not wanting you to have open food containers and all that. By the way, pet food as well, leaving pet food out overnight can be a real attraction for roaches. Easy entry points, and I would bet that building probably has a number of them: gaps under doors, loose window seals, cracks in walls.
Oh yeah, there's a couple of outlets that the guy was telling us last night. Every one of these apartments, there's this one outlet that they love. So I'm going to try to get some of those things that you put in the outlets to keep kids from.
Oh right, sure, sure.
Poking into the outlet.
Right, those little, I got some of those recently for another reason. I went to Home Depot. At first, they didn't know what I was talking about. I had to say, you know, childproof and all this. Well, they didn't know. They sent me to every aisle. I finally found them, like, behind something where they weren't supposed to be. So good.
Of course.
Good luck on that. But now, the other thing, of course, is that, food delivery, things like that, because cardboard boxes, grocery bags, you name it.
Oh, they love them, and we have some, because I've been trying to clean out, you know, some stuff in the closet that I'm going to get rid of, so I got some boxes. And then, we get food deliveries. From the store, and sometimes but even if I went to the grocery store, you can get them in your grocery bags.
Well, you do get it. That's absolutely true. And the deal is that they propagate. So once they're in the building, they're everywhere. You know, I'm convinced that roaches will be the last thing left on Earth. You know, they're hardy little buggers.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody
said something about on one of their email tags, the cockroach shall inherit the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Florida, they call them palmetto bugs. And, you know, some of them can be as long as 6 inches. And I know when we were kids, we used to put a drop of nail polish on them and have races. But, you know, they were just there. Some of them flew, which was really the first time you saw that. It's like, what the hell? You know, but
when Gary lived in Galveston, they were really bad because it's so humid.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And he lived in an very old building. I think it was built in the 20s, and it wasn't very well insulated. And I remember one time I was sitting talking on the phone, and I was drinking a Coke. And I picked it up to take a sip out of it, and there was a roach on my can.
Ah!
I screamed and threw the can across the room. It was a mess, but fortunately, it was almost empty. But
blaming—it's
weird because I didn't seem to get them in California, and I know they've got roaches in California. I know people that had them, but I lived in apartments all over the place, and it just.
Well,
you know, especially when I lived near my mother would have had a fit. We tried to move to Scottsdale one time, and she had a fit because she pulled the covers back and there were roaches in the bed, and she said, "We're leaving."
Probably just as well, but you do, and they have that, you know, that connection that people believe that it's because it's a dirty house or whatever, and actually that's just not true. While that's a factor, no doubt about it, and you can, you know, act like fertilizer to the roaches if you're dirty, but even if you're even if you're Mr. Clean, for God's sakes, once they catch hold, it's not a case of clean up your kitchen and it's going to get better. And so as the management tries to come down harder and harder on the tenants, that's not going to fix this.
No, you know, and they're telling us, well, you have to move everything out of your kitchen cupboards. I said, so how are we supposed to do that, and where are we supposed to walk?
Right. Right. Well, I think the easiest way to do it is say, yes, I did that. You know.
Oh yeah, but they came in, you know.
Oh, to look.
To spray. Yeah.
They want to spray while things are entering. Well, and you know that the pest control thing is an issue too, because of course those are toxic chemicals, and.
They are.
A lot of people, I'm certainly one of them, can't tolerate it. I get very sick, and so when they start with that, and they'll get more toxic as time goes on, there's people in that building who are going to have physical problems from that.
Oh, I did today. I've got I'm dealing not only with, you know, our back issues, but I'm dealing with some, like, my eyes are burning, and I have a headache.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got a real
not good.
Oof.
Well, keep the windows open even when it's hot and humid. I mean, get fresh air, as much fresh air as you can get.
Yeah, I wish these idiots also won't. We have been waiting for them to put new screens on our windows.
Well, yeah, good luck.
For at least 4 years.
Yeah, good luck on that. You know, of course.
Yeah.
That's
what you get when you're in Section 8 housing.
Well, that's right. And that's absolutely true. And so I'm not sure what the upshot of this is going to be, because obviously they've been cited and they've been told you clean up or else. But ultimately, they're going to have to do a little more than they're doing, I think. The biggest thing is going after where the gaps are, where the open spaces are, where it's coming in. Also checking to see, is there any moisture anywhere? And, you know, things like moving boxes and stuff, we talk about the cardboard and things like that, that is an easy target. And, of course, the cockroach isn't going to eat that, but it's shelter to them. So, you know, and of course they attract other pests. Maybe they'll feed on them. I don't know. But yeah, this is a mess all the way around. And so hopefully they'll get to the bottom of it. But yes, no matter how bad it is outside, you're better off breathing the outside air.
I'm happy to have it's a fairly nice apartment. I mean, yeah. We got used to living in two bedrooms where we had a little more room for stuff, but we had a downsize, and that's okay. I'm glad we have a roof over our head, I know a lot of people who don't.
The first thing they should do, I think, is glue strips. Because if you know where the infestation point is, the glue strips are great because it'll draw them out and it'll trap them.
What is that?
Glue strips. And they're just like they sound. And that'll work, but this infestation may be bigger than them, but nonetheless, I would do glue strips. The other thing that they should do is, of course, they should be caulking the heck out of everything. And they're probably not.
Yeah.
I would think the bathrooms and the kitchens, you've got cracked caulk there, I can almost guarantee you. And so
well, then they build these places on the cheap anyway. I mean, this building I think is only what, maybe 15 years old at the most.
Okay.
And I remember when they're putting up these things like there's somebody I have a feeling like there's these chickens laying houses or something. Yeah. I don't know. They're just they built this area up so much. It used to be the Mueller Airport area, and there was nothing over here. And now it's just nothing. But every time. I go with somebody that can see, they're always telling me, oh, my God, they put more condos up here and more up there and,
Well, it's an attractive point because Miller Avenue is close to town. And, of course, used to be you couldn't touch it because there was the airport. Well, airport goes away to the middle of nowhere. And suddenly you got all this land close to town. And, of course, that's attractive. So that's going to happen. But it'll be interesting
to see. Some of the people in the more upscale houses, because this is a, pretty up neighborhood, but some of the people we're talking about, because houses are so close together, it's almost like living in an apartment because you can hear the neighbor flush their toilet, And I'm thinking, if I'm going to pay as much as they're paying for these houses, I do not want to hear a thing.
No, absolutely. The other thing that happened in the South, and I don't know how much it happened in Austin, but and this is now going back a couple decades, but they imported wallboard from China, and the wallboard was cellulose-based, and so, of course, it became toxic mold, like everywhere. And so that was a huge issue.
The place I used to live in was much worse than the place we lived in when we were first calling you when you had the Friday night show. And I'm telling you how happy we are to move out of there. But it was much worse. But, they have got one maintenance guy for this whole building. And they can't keep maintenance people because they don't pay them enough.
Right. Well, yeah, you know where that's going. Well, it's going to be interesting because if they can't get a handle on it, there's only so much they can make the tenants do. And at some point,
that's right.
At some point, they're going to have to address the root of the problem. And it's going to be hard because once the infestation is there, it's hard. And I would say for your end of it, you do the least you have to be compliant. But other than that, for God's sake, stay outside as much as possible. Do not be breathing that stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't get out much.
I know,
days,
but, even if you just stood outside the building, anything to just have, well, of course, they're probably spraying the outside of the building, too, but, okay, a block away or whatever, somewhere where you're not breathing that air. That's the real key here.
Well, I'm really going to start pestering them about the screens because we need to open our windows.
Well, and
you, I don't want to, we open our windows, there's no screen, then all the bugs get in here,
Right. And absolutely. And it's interesting, sooner or later, maybe somebody will drop a dime with authorities because they know darn well that if roaches have access, they're going to come in. So they might actually force that, which would be great.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, they did not cite us with it. They cited the
right.
building didn't pass the inspection.
Right.
We did.
No, that's absolutely true. That's the way it'll be. So hopefully...
We cleaned like crazy, and we keep our dishes done, and our counters wiped down, and, you know, we got clutter. That's no question about that, but...
Well, I'm not worried about that. Me. Jeez, but yeah, you don't need this on top of everything else. So for God's sake,
and I was just like, what, you expect us to do what? And then the guy comes in and says, oh, you didn't take everything off the countertops. And I said, oh God, they didn't tell us to do that.
Right.
They just told us to take everything out of the cupboard.
Right.
So fortunately, the guy was really nice, and he helped us take the stuff off the counters and. You know, that's why we're like, well, where are we going to put it?
Yeah, when can you put it back?
But anyway.
I think we're going to get some advice. Folks are calling in about this. So hopefully.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopefully we'll hear from some people about this. But again, I know it's tough. Get outside. You got to do this.
Have you heard the song Roaches? It's done to the song Rumors. Look at all those roaches. Yeah, something like that. And I was thinking about that song.
No, Court Jesters is all I know.
Dr. Demento used to play it. It's a parody of the song Rumors.
I'll look for that. But in the meantime, I think I'll play the Court Jesters. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
okay, great.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Good luck.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
So, yeah, bye. We'll hear from Ken and Marguerite and Eduardo, and that's great. So the more advice, the better. Meantime, I'll mention something happy for a moment. The Sea Crane Company. Oh, yeah. The CC Radio 3. It's John's bedside companion. He loves it. He uses it as his Bluetooth speaker, too. And it's got Bluetooth. It's got almost everything. It's what it's got more than anything else is just tremendous reception, AM and FM, and terrific quality. That's why you may use it as your Bluetooth speaker, because the sound quality is worth the price alone. But having the ability to pick up things that you otherwise wouldn't be picking up, man, it's just great. You get AM, you get FM, you get NOAA weather and the weather alerts, of course, and you get the 2-meter ham band, which is a lot of fun. And you know, when things are quiet, well, you can hear hams jawing to each other. But when things are, when everything's hitting the fan, well, you may hear things you're not going to hear on your smartphone. And it runs on the included power cord. But if you put a set of batteries in it, you'll get over 170 hours. It's a terrific radio. It's got a digital readout and a clock, a timer, an alarm, and presets, and all the things you'd expect. But what you wouldn't expect is just terrific reception and audio quality. Check it out, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 3. If you can't go online, you can give them a call. And if you got any questions, you give them a call. They'll answer them. You can order by phone as well. And that's 800-522-8863. That spells 522-T-U-N-E. But if you can go online, oh, man, it's a great catalog. Not only great products, but great information about radio as well. The CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you. From WGN Radio.
Don't leave your food on the table.
Why, honey, why?
Because of those roaches.
Oh, crawling up your floor.
Roaches.
Oh, crawling in and out your door.
Roaches.
Oh, eat your food and want more.
Roaches.
And on that note, we'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Started by dirty people, and they were nasty.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I think that's the one Fran was talking about, and that's actually Russ Parr. He is on K-Day in Los Angeles, and he recorded as Bobby, Jimmy, and the Critters, and Roaches, and I think before that, a check is in the mail, but I know I can't play that. All right, so, and it's funny because I looked it up on YouTube anyway, and they said radio version. I'm like, not in this country. Yeah, there's obscenity laws here. You can find it for yourself if you want to hear it. But as far as what to do about these roaches, well, that is a conundrum. And we are going to hear from Margarita and Rita and Ken again. All right, so, Ken, what's the solution?
Well, first, a little background. Roaches and dragonflies have been on the earth for millions of years. So they're survivors.
Yes.
What to do about them? Well, first, the spraying is no good. And I talked to the exterminator. You got to get them where they're using this like little paste where they step on it and they bring it. You got to bring it back to the nest to the eggs to kill the eggs. You can't kill them one by one. That's a losing battle.
Okay.
You can never do that. And also, they usually congregate. Usually in the top and the bottom of the kitchen and the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is keep the water, get a sponge, keep the water off the top of the kitchen, splash guard and the bathroom. Keep that dry and put a couple roach motels on top of there.
Okay.
And also I have centipedes. I got centipedes, not a lot, but I don't have any roaches. And I found out that centipedes eat the roaches' eggs.
Oh.
And also with food, like cereals, rice, oatmeal, get those big Ziploc bags and put it in there.
Right.
You gotta seal it up.
Right.
Other than if you can't move out and you gotta stay there, you gotta keep it as clean as you can and no open food.
Yeah, it's a good idea about the Ziploc bags because a lot of people, let's say if you're baking or whatever, maybe you've got some brown sugar and you've got some other things, and yeah, you wanna make sure that you put that in a Ziploc bag because even though the bags are supposedly closable, they're not closable to a roach.
Right, he could squeeze through that.
Oh, yeah.
They have those big Ziploc ones that are huge.
Yes.
They are survivors, and you got to get them to step in the stuff that brings it to the eggs. You try to kill them one by one, which they were doing with the spray, and it's not going to work. And don't use any of the sprays, the Raid or anything like that. You're going to breathe that in, you're going to get sick.
Well, that's right.
And they use boric acid, they use the powder.
Yes.
Well, you know, you got to go natural, or if you can't move, you got to stay there. You got to keep it as clean as you can because they're survivors. And Chicago, here, this makes Fran feel better. In Chicago, we got a trilogy of terror. We got rat problem, roaches, and bed bugs.
Lovely, lovely.
We got all three of them.
And you'd hope that one would just eat the other, but I guess they have a professional courtesy.
Right, right. Exactly. The bed bugs bite, especially if there's children around, you know.
Yeah, they do.
You'll see little red bites on you. But I found out that centipedes, I have no roaches because they eat the eggs. You got to get to the eggs, not the individual roach,
right,
which was the tactic years ago. You just spray it. And it's a joke, these exterminators. They come and they spray real quick. It's a joke.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
it is a joke. They do it, they're in and out in 5 minutes.
Right. Unfortunately, the punchline is your health. That's why I said to Fran, you got to stay outside.
Right. Stay outside and don't use any chemical sprays.
Oh, of course
don't
not.
Don't use any of the raid.
Right.
You're going to get sick.
Yeah.
You're going to breathe that. And to leave you with a little humor is what are the only two things that will survive a nuclear attack?
Roaches
and Twinkies.
Right. There you go. And the roaches won't even eat the damn Twinkies. That's what I'm saying. All right.
There's so much chemical. Well, I hope that helps Fran, you know.
Appreciate it. Good stuff. You know,
by the way,
the problem with Fran is she's in a building with all these other people. So even if she does everything right, it's a never-ending battle.
Yeah. Yeah, she's trapped.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
She's trapped. So or try to get outside as much as you can, get some fresh air.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but no chemicals, no chemicals.
I'm there. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, and the complex will spray those chemicals. They will. You're not going to win that battle, so that's why I keep saying, yeah, I know you don't want to go outside. Get outside. Right, because the alternative is just much better. All right, to be in the elements, as it were, than to be amongst the bug spray. Marguerite in Chicago has some advice. So, all right, Marguerite, thanks for calling. What do you know?
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Number one, we're in Chicago, and rose like the flower rose, pest control.
Uh-huh.
And I think I've heard the lady speak on WGN. Have her, if she can, look them up on the internet to get their phone number. Call her, and she'll give her the best advice. I'm not saying she'll get on a plane.
Right, no, of course not.
Train or car and come down there, but she may know of another good company to come and be of help. And the man is right who just called. Spraying does not work.
Yeah.
Now, what Fran's going to have to do is get in touch with them, let them advise her, and then everyone in the apartment building will have to follow suit.
Yeah.
Another thing is there's a company called, write this down, and this is for all the listeners that need this. It's called The Bug Stop.
Okay.
Their address in Chicago is 2029, that's 2029 South Halsted Street.
Okay.
In Chicago. Their phone number is area code 312-226-0824.
Okay.
That's area code 312-226-0824. TheBugStop.net. And you'll see like the octagon stop sign.
Yep.
For the bug stop. Now, years ago, their hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay.
Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. They used to sell, like the man said, a paste. It would come in a tube like toothpaste, brown cream. You apply it everywhere you've ever seen a roach, every opening, every crevice, every inside her apartment, inside the building, and outside of the apartment building. If they have to use a ladder, a fire truck, a cherry picker, whatever, to get to those holes on the outside of the building, and everyone in the apartment building will have to use it. After that first application, I mean, you go everywhere, drawers, underneath the cabinets, in the cabinets, where the openings are that the pipes come in, into the, you know, through the walls that bring in water. Any and every opening, you put it there, wherever you've seen them, in the apartment, in the home, outside of the building, everywhere. Then, after that first application, you may see some, a second, you know, a little bit after that first application, but after applying it a second time all around, you guarantee 1,000% never to see them ever again. Now, the Bug Stop used to sell that cream. I've forgotten the name of it. I don't know if they do anymore because it's something else they sell now.
Yeah.
What that other product is and how it works, I don't know.
Okay.
But I can swear by the brown tube. But then again, that was 20-some years ago. Ooh, that was like 1992-3 when I used it last. And so it's, 2026 and have never had to use it again.
Great.
I've never had to use it again. I swear by it.
Right.
And I know other people because I learned it from someone else. And they were going, and I went with them, and I've never had to go back to the bug stop again.
That's
because
great.
That one tube, you know, I still had more even after that second application. I'm sorry, I don't know what I did with that tube. Otherwise, I'd try and get it down to Frank. But, yeah, she's, I'm not saying in good company, but, you know, she's not the first.
Right.
Won't be the last. Hopefully, if everybody used that cream, it must, maybe they have the formula of what's in the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
That got rid of it because and so my mother came in from out of town and she didn't see anymore. She's like, is it safe? And I'm saying to myself, ma'am, if it took out and you don't see anymore, you've already answered that question. We're still alive.
Right, yeah.
My father's 96.
Right, yeah.
My father's 96, my mother's 89, and I'm 66. And my aunt, who's been in the home several times, is 101.
Yeah.
So obviously it didn't take us out. Okay, so I hope that helps. And thank you for your program.
That's great. Thanks. Appreciate the advice. Thanks, Marguerite.
You're welcome. Okay, good night.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Now, I think Rita wants to add to it as well. So firstly, let me say goodbye to Marguerite so that I can say hello to Rita. All right, Rita, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, I was just thinking about those roaches.
Yeah.
It's been so many years. But I used to live in a walk-up third-floor apartment in Rogers Park. And it was one of these old buildings, you know, that had the big fireplaces and everything. And the closet, so when you had the bed that folds out and all that. It was a very old building.
Uh-huh.
But the cupboards were so deep that I'd have to get up onto a ladder, and still I couldn't reach the back.
Uh-huh.
But what I had investigated, and I went to several hardware stores, this was a building that had multiracial type of people, multi-ethnic people.
Uh-huh.
So everybody was cooking their own foods in different ways. But I was getting their roaches because I was very clean, and I did not have any pets, no cats, no dogs, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I had to get what worked for me was I went to the hardware store, and they told me boric acid powder.
Right.
And it comes in a big canister.
Yes.
And you cut off the top, and then you just squeeze it along the edges there. And what I did, too, was with my cereal and things that had to be in a Ziploc bag, I had saved some of those, at Christmas time you get these popcorn tins.
Mm-hmm.
I would save those popcorn tins, and then I would put my Ziploc things inside of there and so that they wouldn't be contaminated with anything. But I got rid of them. I had no problem. But we did have our back porches lined up with my garbage can was on the same back porch as my neighbor's garbage can from across the way. And there were six units in that section of the building.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if those people had roaches or not. Through the firewalls, I could hear all their fighting now and then.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I didn't have much communication with them. But, the boric acid powder is just along the seams of everything. And that worked for me. And
great.
Then keeping things in one of those canisters.
All right. Good deal. Thank you. Appreciate it,
uh-huh.
Rita. All right, thanks.
And then I was wondering about, you had somebody who called in. I have not been in touch with you for a while because of my sickness. But somebody called in by the name of Laura.
Uh-huh.
And she had been in a rehab.
Yes.
And I had been in a rehab, and I had that really bad care at my rehab.
Oh,
and,
I hate to hear
that. I found out that when they put my pacemaker in, they didn't really hook it up to anything.
What?
And it wasn't hooked up to anything. And I had gone all this time because I got out of the rehab in late October. And I've been having chest pain. I've been having shortness of breath. Blood pressure has been out of control and so forth. And my primary doctor said, well, you got to see a cardiologist. And she couldn't recommend anybody. So I did see a cardiologist at Lutheran General. And then they found out that my pacemaker has not been working because it's never been programmed in to the system.
That's
and
crazy.
So it is crazy. But that was that particular institution that they...
That
keeps getting sold every time you turn around. It's being sold. But I had been... The thing is, too, my problem was that I'm allergic to so many antibiotics.
Yeah.
And I told them before I had the pacemaker put in, I am allergic to all these different drugs. And they said, well, we want to know what you experienced. Well, some of these things were given to me years ago. And I used to keep those records, but I didn't have any more. And so this one particular drug they chose to give to me for a surgical procedure was one that affected my spinal cord.
Oh.
And you can have allergies, not just a rash on your body.
Oh, of course.
Or shortness of breath or anything like that. You can have allergies that affect the interior organs of your body.
Oh, of course.
And, it affected my spinal cord. And when I went to stand up after having the pacemaker put in, they were ready to discharge me. And I could not pivot over
right.
to a chair.
Right.
Because I had no leg power.
Right.
Because of my spinal Yeah. So that's when they switched me over to the rehab across the street. And it was the horror of horrors over there.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, that is awful. And, yeah, you know, for me anyway, if they say, what's your reaction? I say, it's anaphylactic. And at that point, they usually will not give me whatever it is. Because those,
well, they said they had to give some in.
Yeah, well, that's the magic word, you know. So it's anaphylactic, can't do it. So, but I can't I can't imagine a story where nothing's hooked up. I mean, I can't, you know, wrap myself around that to understand how that could happen on any level.
So they told me, okay, take this little white box, this little white thing, and plug it in and keep it by your bedside, which I did. But all it was, it just had a little thing that said battery, a little icon that had battery, and then it would say, okay. All that was really doing was telling me that it was plugged in and
the battery
was okay.
That doesn't mean that
that's
it's
what it was doing. It wasn't recording anything.
Oh, God.
And so all my symptoms that I was having with my heart failure were getting worse. And,
oh, God.
So I see this doctor again. I see when I went to Lutheran General, I got this good advice I went to a cardiologist. He worked me in pretty quickly. And then I see that the electrophysiologist on the 30th of this month.
Good luck.
And they're trying to get everything switched over to their system.
And, well, I sure hope so, because it certainly wasn't doing you any good the way it was before. I'm so sorry to hear this.
No, and you know, I missed out. I don't know what happened. John was away for a while. I didn't know what happened, because I can't always get to the...
Right. Yeah. No, that's right. He's back. So all's
is
good.
Is he okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Was he sick or something?
Nope. Something completely else. All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it, Rita.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. That's... And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
If I had to choose just one day.
If I had to choose just one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her, go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way. That Sunday, that summer.
Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on and kiss her, go on and kiss her now.
If I had to choose one more.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, one of my all-time faves, that's for sure. Nat King Cole, 1963, that Sunday, that summer, and a lot of versions of that, including Natalie Cole, but Nat, of course, the original, and he just nailed it. And that was a request, and that was a Jerry in Montana. Thanks, Jerry. I was thrilled to play it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Karen in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi. Hi, it's Karen in Chicago.
Yes, that's right.
You know what? I'm sorry, I only heard the tail end of it.
Oh,
yeah. I had a problem with, we solved the roach problem, and we solved the rat problem only because my girlfriend's husband, when he was alive, used to be a maintenance man. Now, the bed bug problem was something else, and I couldn't get help with it. And I don't know how I found them. I found a pest control company, and I explained the situation to him, and he came out, and he had evidently been to that our building before, and he said, oh, I know what you're dealing with, but don't worry, I'll help you. And they came out every 2 weeks, and they would have to strip the bed, and they would spray the stuff, and eventually we got rid of it. The only problem was it cost me $485. I had to pay for it, and I caught a break because the owner of the company found out that me and my roommate were blind, and he said, look, that's a heck of a mess to be in, he said, so I'm going to give you a discount. And we did get rid of them.
Good.
But, oh, man, we don't have maintenance here either. And that is a nasty problem.
Well, yeah, especially when you have other residents who aren't cooperating, or worse yet, like what Fran's going through, building management that's not doing the obvious.
Yeah, we don't even know. I don't know any of the neighbors. I used to know one couple, and they've gone now, so I don't know anyone. And another thing, not having maintenance is a problem, and not knowing anybody in the building. The landlord just doesn't seem to take care of a lot of things that should be taken care of. So,
well, that's so true, you know, and so common.
We can call him and tell him, look, I got a problem. If it's, he'll get to it and do something about it. I had one experience where our heat went off, and he was on vacation, and I happened to call his cell phone, and he said, oh, well, I'm not in Chicago. I think he was in the Middle East or somewhere. And he said, I'll give you a number to call. So I called the number, and I spoke with the gentleman and told him what the problem was. And he said, oh, I don't know how to do that. I'm not an electrician. So there we were. And a friend who her husband happened to be an electrician, and she asked him, and he came and took care of it for me. But, boy, you know, you can run into some nasty problems.
All right. What's the electrician connection here? I mean, they're not electrocuting them. What does it matter if they're an electrician or not?
I don't know what his problem was, but the matter was getting my heat turned on. And this fellow, my friend's husband, happened to be an electrician,
All right.
He just knew what to do, I guess.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
If it hadn't been for, God bless them, you know, if it hadn't been for them, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's over and has not returned.
And I have another question for you.
Yeah.
Like, I am wondering, I give to several animal charities.
Uh-oh.
And why is it that when they will send you their envelope and their information, why aren't they sending you money? I am getting 50-cent pieces. I get nickels and pennies. I've gotten quarters on occasion. And in one, this is funny, I really felt like an idiot. It had a dollar bill in it, and I didn't know it. And when I get my mail, I braille it with the date and who it's from. Well, holy cow, I brailled it, and I reached in that envelope. There was a nice, new, crisp dollar bill with braille on it. I had no idea it was in there. But why didn't I do that?
Well,
I'm sending...
Yeah, firstly, I would ask you, especially with animal charities, they're one of the big problems. Not all of them, but you want to fully check to see how much of that money actually benefits an animal. There are many that raise money showing all these pictures and all these tear-jerking images, and they're not directly helping animals. So this is a huge problem, and I don't want to have all manner of hell rain down on me to give you some examples, but some of the biggest, so all I'm going to tell you is you want to take a look at this to see, you know, to find out what they are and whether there's a local shelter who's benefiting in any way from this.
Yeah, some of them I know, like I know Paw Chicago, and another cat one.
Yeah, we don't need to go through it. All I'm saying is, please do your homework before you give to them.
Why are they sending you money back? I find that offensive.
Well, probably because they want more money from you.
Oh man, that don't make any sense. I mean, just think, if they're sending money to me, how many other people are they sending money to? So is that doing the animals any good?
Well, firstly, most of the charities are not doing the animals any good. That's what I just said. But one of the things is it's been very effective. You know, charities, charitable giving, this is an industry. You know, don't kid yourself. This is absolutely an industry. And what they've discovered is you send small amounts, you know, like a nickel, a dime, a quarter, whatever. It's highly effective. It's counterintuitive, right? But it's a psychological marketing tactic that increases donations. It basically is leveraging the principle of reciprocity. But on the one hand, you'd say, well, this is ridiculous, and I would agree with you. However, it raises more money. So why they're sending this to you is that, well, for instance, Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, for every nickel they spent on a mailing, they raised a dime. So... there's a premium effect, you know, the token of appreciation. And yes, it is legal. Absolutely. They can send you unsolicited merchandise or tokens, you know, the little bit of change that you're free to. You can keep it whether you donate or not. You're under no obligation to donate or return the money. But they do it because it works.
There was one charity I called. It was something for children. And I had to call. I don't give to people. I only give to animals. Well, I had to call them and ask them, please don't keep sending me things. You're literally giving me a guilty conscience. I never donate to this this particular one.
Well, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't waste my time. I'd just throw it out.
They stopped. They did actually stop.
And that's good. And sometimes they will, and sometimes they won't. It depends where they got. Where they got your name. There's some online merchants where, man, you buy from these people, and man, you're going to see all manner of charitable offerings come to you, whether you want it or not. So there's a lot of it. The easiest way for most people, I mean, it's nice that you took the time to do it, but for most people, they're not going to take the time to do it. The easiest way is to just put it in the circular file, you know, throw it in the trash.
Right.
You know, but that's why they do it. They do it because it works.
I just wondered about that. Because
that's why.
I found it offensive.
Well, you certainly could vote with your dollars. If they're sending you money, just say, okay, I'm not donating to them, and be done with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
And thanks for taking my call.
Have a
good one.
Yeah, you know, raising money is absolutely an institution, if you will. And anything they're doing, if they're doing it repeatedly, they're doing for one reason and one reason alone, because it works. But, you know, the nice thing about most charities is you can research them and see what percentage of the dollar is actually going to the cause, number one. And number two, the reason I mention animals, because so often it does not in any way benefit an animal. It doesn't go to the local shelter. It doesn't go directly to the animals. Not that the animals are getting mail, but you understand what I mean. It doesn't go to entities that are taking care of the animals. You know, some are just advocacy groups like a PETA. You know, there's no animals getting money from PETA. But there are other names that would surprise you, perhaps, if you haven't researched this. So you probably want to do that. But beware of anything that is using heavy, heavy advertising. They're doing it because they're getting the returns, and they're usually yanking on your emotions. Don't be victimized. That's not to say don't give. Just take your time, do your diligence, and if you can give locally to an entity that means something to you, that is always the way to go. All right, so we'll get to David in Muskegon. We've got Eduardo in Tampa, Floyd's in Iowa, Cindy's in Chicago, and your requests are coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh, you made me cry. I see no use in wondering why.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You know, I forgot all about that record. Billy Bob and Bourbonnais requested it. It was in the United States on that Meet the Beatles album in 1964 on Capitol. Not a second time. All right, so there it is in glorious mono, whatever. All right, so it's like that. All right, I think, by the way, I'm coming down with something, you know, I don't know, nothing fatal, like a flu or something. And I've been fighting this now for, I'd say, at least the last 24 hours solid. And suddenly it's like really spacey. And no, not taking anything other than, you know, like the acylococcinum. And yeah, I know, probably does nothing, but I feel better because I do. All right, Floyd in Iowa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, Raleigh, they talk about the cockroaches. I've heard that about the boric acid before. My dad told me about that.
Yeah.
I never did use it. The thing I used was something called Durfban. It came out by Chevron Corporation. That's been banned by the EPA. That might have been changed since President Trump got it. He might have thrown it out, but who knows? You can't get it anymore. I used to go down to this local garden center and buy about a quart bottle of it. And the guy that sold it to me, he said, now that makes several applications. I read the whole thing, the warnings and all that, about a tablespoon per gallon or something like that would be the recommended rate or concentration. We had a guy here that had commercial pesticide applicators license.
Okay.
He would put that stuff on, and I don't know what he used, but that Durfban, if you put that on a greater concentration, what that does is kill the critters. It also does something to you. He died. First he went bald, and then he died. But everybody wanted him because he got results. But one of the results he got was it killed him. We're thinking, because he wasn't too long after that. Maybe 5 years after he started, he's gone.
Oh geez.
But that stuff works, and what it does, apparently, as I recall from what I read on it, it's a desiccant. It just gets on the critters, or the bug, pest, whatever. They're outside. They got an exoskeleton. It's a hard outside
right,
shell.
Right.
It gets on there. It draws all the fluid out of their body. I've seen the result of that once. I've seen a cricket on my front step. Darn thing, I thought, well, I'm just it's going to jump away. I got up there and seen a bubble on it. Well, apparently what it was is a grain or granule that got on it. It's a liquid when you apply it, it dries.
Mm.
Got on that critter, sucked all the fluid out of its body. There's a big bubble of fluid on its
body. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was the death of the cricket. Now, that you see, that's the same thing a lot of these military chemical weapons do to people. They'll get the same. If every now and then you hear about a farmer, they'll get too much of the concentration of his pesticide or herbicide on his skin or kill too much of it. They got to take him out to the emergency room. They'll patch him up and get him up so he lives. But you're going to have some kind of effect of that for the rest of your life, bud. That's not just gone.
Yeah, right.
You've got to get that stuff.
It's neurological.
Come all out of your.
Right. It's.
Yeah, you've got to get all that out of your body.
You know, I didn't even think about it, but there one of the places we were living, they were spraying something really toxic, and I don't remember what it was, but I didn't realize that they were right by. I had a side door to the outside, and I opened that door and walked and got doused with it. And I'll tell you what, the person who was doing the application absolutely left. He just said, I got to go. So, you know, he was not hanging around. And meanwhile, of course, I had to, you know, change my clothes and take a shower and all that. But I'm sure it affected me in some way, though I'm not sure how.
Well, you did good. You got that hasty decontamination. You got that stuff off your body quick.
Well, of course.
You got out of them clothes, too.
Yeah, yeah, I did,
you know,
I did
these,
that.
Some of these things, they'll tell you when you spray it, don't let the animals, you know, like your pets, get on the lawn.
Right.
A lot of cats, maybe dogs, too, they lick their paws after they walk across something. That's what's getting into their system.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I don't have any pets. But when I used that on my own house, like you said about that lady, too, get out. I didn't stay in the house. I used that and then come back in maybe hours later, go down to the basement, it killed everything.
Mm.
And you'd see where they're just dried in there. They got a curl when they get the death throes, whatever those critters get, spiders, insects. They kind of curl up like that. It kills them all, but you can smell that. It's a petroleum product.
Yeah.
And like you said, you don't want to be around that. You know, get out of the house. And it tells you right on the bottle, too.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the worst thing is to stay in an enclosed area and breathe that stuff. You're 100% right.
No, don't do that.
Well, I'm so glad you called.
I'm glad you told that lady, too, that don't stay in there, partner.
Yeah,
if you can't, get out of there.
Absolutely.
That's going to have a lasting effect. And something else about that. California, they do a lot of tests on it. It might not affect you. It might be your generations later on that'll
exist. Yeah, I've actually heard about that. You're 100% right about that. And you have ended the hour, so I will talk to you soon.
Let me talk to you later,
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large and be right back to it with you on WGN Radio.
Go, 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 go. Hurry, 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 hurry. Get. I get over to Friendly Loan. We want to see you at Friendly Loan. That neighborly low-cost, long-term, uptown, no-down payment company.
My baby said she'd marry me, but there was just one thing.
What?
I had to go and buy her a great big diamond ring. I didn't have no money, I didn't know where to go, until I heard that fella say on the radio.
I get, I get over to Friendly Loan. Hurry over to Friendly Loan. All you have to do is sign on the dotted line, and the money is there, and the treatment is fine. That's Friendly Loan. We want to see you at Friendly Loan. That neighborly low-cost, long-term, uptown, no-down payment company.
Well, after we both said I do, we had to move somewhere. Found us an apartment, but oh my, it was bare. Didn't have no money to fix the place up nice. Then I recalled that friendly voice with that good advice.
I get, I get over to Friendly Loan. Hurry over to Friendly Loan. That neighborly low-cost, long-term, uptown, no-down payment company.
Well, everything was wonderful until that fatal day. I couldn't keep my payments up.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I just love that song. And I was so pleased that Mike in Cleveland liked it too, gave me a chance to play it. Marcel's 1962, Friendly Loans. Get over to Friendly Loans, 1962 on Colpix. All right, so we've got one more of Mike's requests. I hope we'll get to it tonight, the Sapphires. If not, we'll get to it tomorrow night. And let's see, what are we doing? Well, we're battling roaches is what we're doing. And before we do, though, Robert in LaGrange wants to add to his request. So, Robert, what's up?
I thought of an appropriate request. If you remember, Gene and Wendell, a song called The Roach. It was a dance called The Roach, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay. I know that song. You actually want to hear it?
If you'll play, I thought it kind of fit into the topic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a remarkable record. Yeah, right. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, indeed. Yeah. So Gene and Wendell, who could forget? And we've tried. All right. Let's see. Now, what are we doing? I think we talked to Floyd. Yes, and I appreciate that. It was fun to talk to Floyd. All right. David in Muskegon's got some advice. All right, David, what you got for me?
Yes, I have some suggestions for Fran, because her and Gary are both totally blind, just like I am. The first thing that you can do is, Marguerite said, get you some boric acid. That would be a starter. And put it along the baseboards. Have your caregiver do it, and put it on your counter. And don't put anything on that counter for about a week. And the second thing you can do, you can go to Walmart and get these roach bombs. And you set one off in each room, one or two of them. You leave the apartment for about 6 or 8 hours, then come back. You're going to have something to clean up because they'll all be dead. That's the second thing you could do. And the third suggestion I would have is, since both of you are totally blind, you need somebody in there with two pair of eyes. You can say you're clean, but you, both of you, you and Gary both, might miss some spots. You need a two pair of eyes in there. And Marguerite, if you and Fran could exchange numbers somehow and get down to Austin, maybe you could be of some help. And also, with Medicaid waiver money, you probably, Marguerite, could get money for taking care of Fran and Gary, you know, being their chore worker.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a lot of suggestions in that. I appreciate the call.
Yes, because, see, I had a problem. I lived in Kalamazoo, and I had roaches because I had neighbors that didn't like taking, like, their garbage out, like, And so what I had to do, I got these, when I moved to Muskegon, a friend of mine told me about these roach bombs because I had roaches in all my stuff and in my apartment. And I got these roach bombs in some boric acid, and I set off the bombs in each room, and then my friend put down some boric acid, and we didn't vacuum in that area because of the fact that it was there, and what we want to do is kill all the roaches and make certain that they don't return. And this is how I got rid of my roaches. I didn't have a single roach. I didn't have another problem with them, even though the landlord did come and spray, and it was really nice of him to do it. And he wasn't real happy because I brought those roaches from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Uh-huh. In that city, every place I lived, there was just full of cockroaches. And the one in both places, I had rats. And in one place, it was because we had a maintenance man that decided to keep the window open downstairs. It was a house with apartments in it. And what the rats did is chewed, you know, they can climb, and they chewed through the floorboards. And I got rats that way.
Uh-huh.
And I had to get rid of them.
Uh-huh.
And what I learned to do was get some rat traps, them real heavy-duty ones, and set them and catch them in those rat traps. Put peanut butter and decon in them, and they'll go for it. You mix that peanut butter and decon in those rat traps, they'll go right to it. And you get 4, 5, 6 of them in there at a time. And they like dark places where there isn't any light. Now, I can't tell if a light is on or off personally. Only way is if I have somebody come in that has two pair of eyes. And, like, I have a chore worker comes in.
By the way, you don't want them to have two pair of eyes. This would be a four-eyed person. I do not want that person in my house.
I mean two eyes.
I understand that. And actually, you only need one. But yes, yeah, but I love the two pairs of eyes. I mean, it was just a visual. I thought to myself, well, that would look interesting. All right, so.
Okay, two pair of eyes, because what I mean is a person with two eyes, you know.
Yes, I understand. All
that's
right.
The expression yes. that always a person's, who used to say that to me was somebody at the rehab center, what you need is two pair of eyes, meaning a person that can see.
Yeah. All right, good deal. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so there you have. Fran's getting more advice than she's ever wanted. And that's just lovely, all the way around, truly lovely. And, yeah, I'm going to play Robert's request. But, you know, I realized, because Gene and Wendell, I know about this, and, oh, God, I've actually played this song before. I think Nick Vinay's brother wrote and produced it, if I don't remember. Or maybe I do remember. All right, so let's see. Don and Beloit, and I've got his three requests, too, to play, including Funky Kingston. If not tonight, tomorrow night. So, Don, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Great stuff. What a conversation. So many conversations about roaches. I love it.
I tell you what, yeah.
Well, I got to, you know, I've worked in restoration a lot and had a lot of friends with ozone generators doing different things with their houses.
Oh, yes.
And getting rid of smells.
Yes.
Yeah, ozone's the way to do it. Ozone's the ultimate, kills everything. Yeah.
Had them all over one house that I lived in. Believe me, we just recently threw out about 20 of them. Pricey buggers, too. Yes, go on.
Yeah, but you got to be careful, of course, because it's going to, you know, everything that breathes, you know, is going to die. So it's going to kill bed bugs or whatever. It just gets into everything. You know, if you got a lot of openings or people use it for electrical areas, the ozone will get inside your whole house, and then it apparently destroys the roaches' pheromones.
Okay.
Pheromones. So
yes.
That it's very good. Yeah, very effective.
Okay. Well, there you
but
go.
It's poisonous, you know.
Yes.
Yep. And you got to like take care of all your electronics, get them out of there, get anything that's valuable, like you know, parchment on. Your antique parchment from the 1700s, you know, you might want to take that off the wall.
Yeah.
But ozone will definitely do it all. It's my experience has been great for like little smells and problems like that.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Nothing like oxidation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, I just wanted to chime in with another one. Art,
I like it. Yep. Let's add that to the list. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
No problem.
So, yeah, and ozone's toxic. Well, you know, too much of anything is not a good thing, but it oxidizes. And so that's great when you're trying to get rid of the roaches. But, you know, if you have some rubber components or whatever, it's going to crack and harden and all those kind of things. And so it doesn't like equipment. And yeah, they actually sell them as cleaners. So and we had a bunch of them in the mold house. And yeah, finally, we're starting to get rid of more and more things after all these studio moves and everything else. Yesterday, John and I were looking, want it? No, toss it, no matter what it is. All right, so let's see. Marguerite called back with another suggestion. I would like to hear it. All right, Marguerite, what you got for me?
Well, thank you for taking my call again. You know, actually, I thank the man that was speaking just before the man that just spoke.
Yes.
About going down and helping Fran. I would if I could, but see, that's what I'm doing here in Chicago. You know, living and helping out with my 96-year-old
absolutely.
Dad and my 89-year-old mom. And yeah. I can't be in two places at the same time.
No, believe me, I never thought you could. Don't even concern yourself.
Yeah, here's a suggestion, though. I'm not kidding. It sounds simple, but it is. If you can get in contact with a good church, synagogue, temple, mosque, ask what people there may need housing that are good and honest and that are helpful, because the church knows, or organizations know, who it is in their congregations are good and decent people. They pretty much know. You know, the people that help out with cleaning out the kitchen after cooking a meal, when they may serve after services. And if that person needs housing and has time on their hands, you know, if they're retired or have a job where they may have hours where they can help out and on weekends, ask to take someone like that in, a boarder, to help out. Good old-fashioned public libraries know good people, those librarians and the people that work there. The Girl Scout organizations, the Boy Scout organizations, college campuses, there's usually some college student or a couple, quite a few actually, that could use good housing and help out in the home.
And by the way, in this apartment, I doubt that Fran and Gary have the square footage to have another person in there, and it's probably prohibited in their lease, in that Section 8 lease. So they probably can't.
Even a sofa. Sometimes dance students and dance companies that could just use a good sofa to stay on that may come in for summer programs, sometimes during the internship. Dancers, those are good young people. You know, you got to go to certain places to get the good. Or that fledging actor, you know, the good, let's say, troops. Like in Chicago, it's the Goodman Theater. They would know people, students, the drama schools, the colleges that offer the drama programs that have students that are studying. I mean, sometimes it's just a sofa that a person could use and be more than grateful to have to sleep on.
All right. Well, I appreciate the suggestion. Thanks, Marguerite.
And you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. So that's where we'll pick it up. We've got Karen, who's got an update. All right, Cindy has got a request. Eduardo, work. Oh, work, work, work. We're definitely going to talk to Eduardo. And Chuck in Rockford, we're moving from roaches to rats. But before we do, we'll have to play the roach because Robert, Robert requested it, and you're going to hear it coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You know, I don't say this often, but it's not quite as bad as I remembered it. Yeah, I've got it all right on the fine Raystar label. The Roach, Gene and Wendell, and the Sweethearts. Yes, don't forget the Sweethearts. And that's Steve Vinay, Nick Vinay's brother, who wrote and produced that. Gene and Wendell actually had a contract years earlier on Specialty. I don't know what went wrong. Gene Washington, I forgot Wendell's last name. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let's see, Karen in Madison has more information to add. So let's hear it, Karen.
Let's see. Something I want to ask was a Bob from Beloit that drives a truck. Is there somebody that calls like that?
Well, we have Don from Beloit, but he's not a truck driver.
He doesn't go down.
No.
I thought I heard him say he was going down.
That wasn't
I-94.
Right. That wasn't Don. That was I forget his name now. That's terrible to say, but yes, we have a regular listener who takes me along for the ride, and I love to ride.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
But there was a lot of when he went down there. Then I'm getting mixed up with something, but when the phones kept acting up, and you said yours were all right. Well, we were having all that hail, and it was tornadoes all over. If he was driving down 94, he was in it.
Uh-huh.
So all right. I'm just explaining his, you know. And then I heard somebody saying spectrum alert. Well, I'm having all this problem with spectrum, and it would be nice to know somebody else's too, because
having computers. Yeah, that when you're talking about having internet problems, that comes down to your node. That would be local, thank God, as opposed to national. So there might be in your area a problem, but I don't think there's any, at the moment, widespread outage. I haven't heard of anything anyway. So, but locally, there could be. You know, it's not an information superhighway. It's a dirt road. And even when you've got fiber to even when you got fiber to the premises, it doesn't guarantee you what you think you're getting. So, I know.
Well, did I hear before I hang up that you know where Williamson Street is by the beach?
Yeah.
In Madison?
Yeah.
I live right down the street from there.
Okay. Well, big street. I mean, you know, it's not small.
It goes into Atwood, and it goes to, you know, right along the lake there, and there I am.
Oh, absolutely.
It was
about a mile
from where you called.
Yeah, there's like Blair or Patterson, or trying to think of what other.
Yeah.
Well,
is there a store there that helps you with computers and you can buy music?
Oh.
Is that what you know about?
No, I just, I drove every inch of interstate when I was younger, and so I'm a real looky-loo. I drive around, I look at things. And so, it's a big street, Williamson. I mean, you know, you get to Rutledge, you're closer to the water, or Morrison, you're right on the water there. But Williamson is big. So, anybody who knows Madison, just like you're going to know Washington Street, there are things you just know, Ingersoll, you know, the big streets.
Yeah. I love words. Yeah. Next time I'll do spelling for trivia.
Okay. That'll be good. I'll look forward to that.
Well, you take it easy.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All
bye-bye.
Right. So there you have that. 888-876-5593. Check out the news. Be back to you in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Toots and the Maytals, Funky Kingdom, and on the album of the same name. And that was 1975 on Island, I think. Pretty sure it was on Island. And I think I have it on an 8-track. Yeah, you don't even want to know. But that was Don and Beloit's request. So there you have it, Don. Now, Eduardo in Tampa. And let's find out what's going on with Job Search 2026. So what's happening? Eduardo. We lost Eduardo. Well, he was waiting long enough. I'm so sorry, Eduardo. Eduardo probably opted to go to sleep, and who could blame him? So let's see if Cindy in Chicago is still with us. You with us, Cindy?
Yeah, I had a mouse infestation.
How many mice?
Well, you know, I mean, the cat would go after the, I had the two white cats, the male white cats that I had would go after them real viciously, and I'd have to lay in my bed and listen to them go after.
Well, it sounds like you wouldn't have a mice problem for very long with the cat.
Well, yeah, but then they kill. Yeah, but I sealed, when I painted, I sealed up that was when I was at the house. And I sealed up the whole enclosed wooden porch, and they never came in again. But then the one time I stepped on a dead mouse with bare feet.
Oh, lovely.
And then the one time that one cat that I had, he was an outdoor cat. I kept him on a short leash, though, when he would go out. You know, I would always... You know, I wouldn't let him roam all day. I would, you know, keep tabs on him. But one time I called him in around dusk, and he had a black mouse in his... I'm like, what is that? And he's got a black mouse in his mouth. He comes in and drops it in the middle of the living room floor.
He was giving you a gift.
But then anyhow, yeah, I sealed everything up.
Uh-huh.
But then I had a request. It was L-O-V-E by... Nat King Cole, I love that song.
Okay.
And then I was going to request a song, because you play some of these weird songs, to wake up the dead, because I've been so drowsy from my bipolar.
What particular dead waking song do you want?
I don't know if you... I don't even know what this song is even about, but it's the stupidest. That one song, all I want to do is zoom, 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 and a boom, boom, rum shake it.
Okay. All righty then. Hey, look, if I'll play Toots and the Maytals, I'll certainly play that.
I don't know what, you know, like, wake up. And I'm sorry, you know, I guess I must be blind. I mean, the only infestation we have here at this condo is sometimes the army ants get in.
Okay. I'm trying to see, and by the way, if I have Rump Shaker. The song you want is by a group called Rump Shaker. Let me see if I even have this on this computer.
What is that? It's the stupidest song.
I've got it, I'm afraid. All right, well, yeah. Rex in Effect. That's the name. Okay, so the group is Rump Shaker. And the song is Rump Shaker. I'm sorry, the group is Rex in Effect. And I've got it. And so here we are. Yes, all I want to do is zoom, zoom, zoom. In a pom-pom, just shake your rump, rump shaker. That's it. It's called the Rump Shaker. The beats is like sweeter than candy. I'm feeling manly, and your shaker's coming in handy. Slide down my cloth from New York down to... I'm not reading the rest of these lyrics. All right, so... There you have it. Yes, Rex and Effects, Rump Shaker.
All right. Well, I'll let somebody else talk. Okay, bye-bye. And don't forget L-O-V-E.
Yes, right. That'll be easier. Thank you. We'll do that. And, I think I'll be... Someone requested Corcovado a while ago. Yeah, Quiet Nights. And they wanted the... And this is terrible. I don't remember who it was. But I know they wanted the one that was Antonio Carlos Jobim with Astrid Gilberto. And I've got that. And I don't remember who requested, but I think we'd play that. And then I've got it, Antonio Carlos Jobim, who, of course, wrote it, doing it, and Vinicius wrote the lyrics. And then I've got a really nice, doing it on piano on the Jobim version, nice piano effect. And Charlie Bird doing a really nice guitar job on that, too. So we'll get to all of that, I think. Been waiting for a while to do. In fact, now's a good time to say. Then we'll talk to Chuck in Rockford, and there's room for you, too. And it will be Rum Shaker free tonight. I can't guarantee tomorrow night on WGN Radio.
Quiet nights of quiet stars, quiet chords from my guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, and a window that looks out on Corcovado.
violão, esse amor, uma canção, pra fazer feliz a quem se ama. Muita calma pra pensar e ter tempo pra sonhar. Da janela ver seu corcovado, o Redentor, que lindo. Quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste e descrente desse mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci o que é felicidade, meu amor.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And all right, so that was the request, and that is from the Verve albums from 1964, Getz Gilberto, Stan Getz, Joao Gilberto, Astrid, his wife, and Antonio Carlos Jobim, and Corcovado, which is Sugarloaf Mountain, basically, and Quiet Nights is the English lyrics to that. That was Gene Lees, who was a Canadian journalist, actually, who a jazz critic or something, who used to do some of the translations. And on one of my favorite Antonio Carlos Jobim, probably my second favorite album by him, it was 1963, and it was on Verve, the composer of Desafinado plays, and he did a really nice piano version of it. I hope. There we go. Nice stuff. And so that was in 63 on Verve. And then 2 years later, Charlie Bird did a couple albums, Brazilian Bird. And the first one, he did a fine guitar version of Corcovado. Nice stuff. And I wish I can remember who requested the Getz Gilberto album, but whoever it is, I hope they're listening, and I hope they heard it. All right, speaking of requests, Naoto in Japan has a request. All right, Naoto, what you want to hear?
Yeah, maybe somebody requested this song, but maybe, as you can probably expect it, Roaches by Court Jesters.
Oh, I played that earlier, Roaches by the Court Jesters. Yes.
Oh,
I played that
okay.
Tonight. Yes. Don't leave your food on the table.
I have another request.
Yeah, I played that right before I played Roaches by Bobby Jimmy and the Critters. But yes, the Court Jesters on Blast 1963. I loved it. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Then I have another request.
Okay.
I think it was Downtown by Mrs. Mira.
Oh, God. You hate me. All right. All right. You know the really sorry story about this, by the way, Naoto, is she was serious as a heart attack. She believed she was good. She had no idea that this was a joke. Yeah, she was this society woman who always demanded she be called Mrs. Miller. I think her first name was Elva, but you wouldn't know it. And yeah, she did this serious as could be. And yes, I will do that for you tomorrow night, probably.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate it. All right. Yeah, poor Elva Miller. Yeah, just, oh, man, I tell you what. Yeah, it's downright cruel. But all right, Chuck is in Rockford. All right, Chuck, you still with me?
Yeah, are you there?
Yes, and you're there. All right, so what's up?
Well, you need a little theater than mine for this one, but I we were in a newer subdivision that had been farmed, you know, that before. So this has been some time back, and we had the family, you know, sitting in a sofa, you know, in a dark room watching a 17-inch black and white set, and right in the middle of the back of the sofa, there was two little eyes watching TV with the family.
Oh, no.
And I'd never seen a rat around there at all. And I felt bad about it afterwards. I cornered the rat and I killed him with a barbecue fork. But that's not the end of the story, though. I found out later that he was a pack rat, and I was doing some work, you know, and I found his nest, and there was all kinds of the little goodies that had disappeared.
Oh, from the house? Oh, wife. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's great.
And my wife had a coat with a mink collar on it.
Oh, no.
And somehow, that son of a gun, it had real fancy buttons, and he got all those buttons off of her coat.
Oh, man.
And his nest. But, he was kind of I guess you would call him a Norway rat. He wasn't white. He was kind of gray.
Yeah.
But I think probably he had an IQ that was pretty close to being, you know, up there with some of the middle class people.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But I'd had rats around when I was a kid, you know, to the point where you couldn't hardly control them, you know, in the one neighborhood that we lived in. And I don't know what the source is, you know. I guess a lot of times just having stuff where they can find nests, you know.
Right. Right, as long as they can get the twigs and, yeah, the available debris. But they love shiny objects, so that explains the buttons.
Oh, yeah. That one really made an impression on me, you know.
They can be loud, too. They can be very boisterous.
Oh, well, he'd been quiet up until... In fact, I wonder how many times he might have been watching TV and we didn't even know it.
Well, probably. They have those wide eyes. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's what gave him away. Those little beady eyes were up on the back of the sofa. Nobody even knew he was there.
That's so funny.
had a full house.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, at least you got your buttons back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a lot of other stuff in there, too, you know. But, you know, if somebody'd be missing a ring or something or other, you know, they'd be thinking it was some other kind of thing, and here it's a pack rat. But,
right.
They've got that thing where they, if they see something they like, why they're, I guess, like a kleptomaniac.
Right, and they'll drop whatever they're doing. Like, if they have something else that's not as good as the thing they see, they drop the thing and they get the thing they want. Yeah.
Oh, so do they do any trading, or?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they do it among other rats, but they certainly do among themselves. They prioritize what they're taking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, they make an interesting study, you know. I know it had been probably, maybe... A good 15 years since I'd seen a rat, you know, as a kid, and seeing that one, and I don't know where he came from, because we were out in the country, you know, in one of the first houses in that subdivision, and had been farmed before, so he came from someplace.
Oh yeah, well, they're hardy as heck. I mean, they go back to antiquity. And, you know, they have, in the Pleistocene period, they have evidence that there were pack rats and things like that. And then, of course, the other thing they're often used is zoologists look at it sometimes as a climate indicator, what's going on with the pack rat. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I think a lot of people who, of course, think of pack rats more in terms of people's behavior know the actual rat exists.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and it really amazed me. You know, I was kind of ashamed of myself after I'd seen his nest. You know?
Well, no, I mean, that's fair game. He took your buttons. I mean, that's a death sentence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I he got the death sentence.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Absolutely. I think that's a judgment that was probably going to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, actually, he'd have probably got by with it a lot longer if he didn't have that a passion to watch TV.
Well, there you are. And I don't think that they live very long as far as that goes. I think less than 3 years on average. But they're certainly prolific. I mean, you know, the females can have up to 5 litters a year. With a with 5 young,
yeah,
so that's 25 rats in a year, and then the other thing is that around 60 days they're sexually mature, so those buggers grow up fast. And
I think on one of those atomic atolls where they had the rats were the first thing back, you know, after they'd done their experiment.
Yeah, gee, why am I not surprised? So. There you have it.
Well, I guess, you know, when a ship is sinking, you wouldn't think you had any rats on it, but they seem to come from everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I know you got to keep the population down. I guess they got to put them on birth control or something.
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But, yeah, they must have, you know, because obviously 25 rats per female a year, they must have a lot of natural enemies that are eating them, because they only, on average, they make it less than 3 years. So so I'll have to take a look at
Well, they can live on almost anything.
Oh,
too,
yeah,
I
but
guess.
who lives on them? You know, what predator likes them?
Well, so, you know, I guess there's, what, rat terrier?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, in terms
but
of,
they like
okay.
to kill them, don't
well,
they?
Well, snakes will kill them. Owls will eat them.
Yeah.
Or hawks, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think bobcats and foxes, you know. But there have to be a lot of predators. Either that or with that type of a birth rate, they'd be everywhere. So I would assume that birds of prey do them in. Well, what a lovely conversation to end the night. We'll talk to you soon. You've just done it.
Oh, boy, that went quick.
It did. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling, though it started out slow. Could you improve that tomorrow night? 21 hours from now, we'll reconvene and do it again. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.